As you do, please take your Bibles, unless you actually listened to Vaudeville and left your Bible open, because we are in 1 John chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 7 through 20. 7 through 20, 1 John chapter 4. It's page 906 in the Bibles in the pews. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How do we know? How do we know? How do we know if God loves us? How do we know if we love God? How do we know if God loves us? How can God love me and my husband gets cancer? How can God love me and this woman breaks my heart? How can God love me and I lose my job or my ranch? How can God love me and my husband dies at age 60? How can God love me and my car gets stolen? How can God love me and I fail a test and my dreams of medical school are over? How can God love me, but I'm so lonely, I have no friends? How can God love me after what he knows I've done? How do you know? How do you know that God loves us? Also, how do we know? We also have to ask, how do we know if we love God? How can I love God and only pray when I'm in trouble? How can I love God and rarely, if ever, read his word? How can I love God and only worship a couple of times a year? How can I love God and focus all my energies on everything but him? How can I love God and not give my wife and children my whole heart and sacrifice for them? How can I love God and turn my heart from those who are poor and those who are in need? How can I love God and close my heart from others who happen to be different than me? How can I love God and disobey his commands when they don't suit me or are inconvenient? How can I love God and give him the leftovers of my time my skills, my financial resources? How can I love God and not love people? How do we know? How do we know? Well, the Bible says that we know God loves us because Christ died for us. The Bible says that we can know we know him because we believe in him, we obey him, and specifically because we love each other. Because God has sacrificially loved us sacrificially, we must love like him. Can you read that with me? It's up on the top there. Because God loved us sacrificially, we must love like him. Then we'll know. Then we'll know. God loves you. Did you catch that? He loves you because it's who he is. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. See, the source of love is God. If there's any sacrificing for the good of someone else, its origin comes from God. Whether they know it comes from God, whether it's because they think they're obeying God, where if anyone loves anyone, whether they know it or not, God is the source of that love. I mean, how gracious is God that you don't even have to believe in him, you don't even have to know him to be able to experience loving somebody else. The Reformers called that common grace. It's just, it's who he is. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, we've got to keep that clear. Just because someone is loving doesn't mean they are born of God and knows God, because it's the context of the Christian community that he's speaking. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's not just who he is, but it's what he does. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Paul said the same thing in Romans 5. He said, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You and I need to know that God loves us. And those, like this cross right here, the cross that someone maybe next to you is wearing, so maybe it's an earring. Don't let a cross be something that just is a part of your landscape that you just miss. Let every cross you see, again, whether it's on a, in a church, on top of a church, in front of a church, again, around someone's neck or on their ears, let that be a reminder to you that God loves you. Okay, we're going into Valentine's Day month, right? And we're already being inundated with what symbol of love. It looks like a, it doesn't even look like a real heart, which is good. I don't think anybody would want to wear one of those. But the heart is not the best representation of love. It's not the best symbol. Truly the cross is. Because he says, this is what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you know that without Jesus dying, we could not be forgiven? That's what it means when we say God is holy. God is love, but he's not only love. God is holy, and he expresses that holiness in his love. God is just, and he expresses his love even in justice and judgment. God is love, and it shows up in his expressions of his power. expressions of his kindness, expressions of his patience. See, if Jesus didn't die, if Jesus was not the atoning sacrifice for our sins, we would not gather like this. Because we wouldn't know if he loved us. It's who he is, it's what he does, and it's in us. He says, dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. How humble is God? How humble is God that he says his love is not perfected or made complete or brought to its fullness without our participation? If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. I want to reverse that. Do you know that if I don't love you, I'm getting in God's way of his love being perfected and completely expressed in this life? If you don't love, if you don't express the love of God that is in you, you set yourself up as an enemy of his, who's blocking his desire. God loves you. It's who he is, it's what he does, and it's in us. See, we know God loves us because he has met our deepest and greatest need at infinite cost to himself. We know that he loves us because he has met our deepest and greatest need at infinite cost to himself. That's our God. He loves us. And when you doubt it, because we all, at some point or another, are come to a point of, gosh, if he loved me, would he let, how does this work? Yes, he does. And we've got to hold on to the cross. Because that's our deepest need. In our prayer time this morning, we were praying for each other, and someone just said, Lord, please, give this person perspective so that they can see the struggle that they're going through will eventually be understood as your goodness to them. Don't you want someone to pray that for you as you're going through times of doubt and you're struggling, you're wondering, does God love me? And someone says, I'm going to pray for you. May not be right now that you'll have the perspective, but Lord, bring them to this point where they'll be able to say, now I can see it. Yeah, God loves us. He does. He really does love you. And God asks you, have you believed that? See, one of the key points that comes over and over again in John's letter is our faith in God's love really matters. I mean, do you believe that God loves you? Yes, Jesus. And you could be right here, sitting on the floor and nodding your head. But something happens as we grow up. What we believed so easily as children becomes harder and harder. Honestly, there are some of us here this morning that God knows that you don't believe it right now. Doesn't mean you never have, but right now, the fog has settled, and it's really hard. When you're at that point, we have got to tell him what we're feeling, and we need to say that we believe it. We need to say, God, I know you love me. I don't feel it. Doesn't seem like it. But in hope against hope, I believe it. What did the man tell Jesus? What did the father say? I believe what? Help my unbelief. Saying, "Help my unbelief," is a deep expression of faith. Because you do believe, otherwise you wouldn't even ask. And have you confessed this love to others? Have you confessed that you know God loves you, that you know he has sent his son to be our Savior? He says, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And we know and rely on the love that God has for us." Have you told someone recently that God loves you? Have you told someone that your hope, not just for this life, but for the life to come, is because God loves you? Why not? What's so important that we're not telling anybody that? I want to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm guessing some of us have expressed our politics in the last couple of weeks. I'm guessing some of us have talked about how much they love somebody else or how meaningful someone else's kindness has been to them. But when's the last time you confessed, you testified that God loves you? And of course, you've also got to make sure you're not saying, "God loves me, I'm so great, that's why God loves me." No, we testify that God has sent his son to be the Savior of the world, and the implication is we are really, really needy. We needed God's son to come and save us. I don't just need a little tweaking to be acceptable to God. You don't just need a little polishing to be acceptable to God. We need a Savior, and wow, God's provided that. He's given us his Son. So have you confessed that to anyone lately? See, it says here that God, beloved, if God so loved us, we need to love each other. If God so loved us, some translations, I believe, miss the translation, and they say, if God loved us so much, we should love each other. I don't think that's what it means when it says so. It's just a little two-letter word in English. But it, I believe, more accurately means this is how God has loved us. Sacrificially, at great cost to himself, at infinite cost to himself. See, that's the so loved us. It's not primarily the quantity or intensity of God's love. It's not God loved us so much, it's the manner in which he has loved us at infinite personal cost. And so I need to ask you, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that he gave his son so you might have life? If not, this is your day. He is calling out to you, he is reaching out to you saying, "I love you, and at infinite cost, I've given my son for you." You say, "I believe that. I believe that, and I confess that he is the Son of God. And that's how God has loved me. That's how God has loved us, that he's given him to pay the debt that I deserve to pay." See, will you believe that God has demonstrated his love by sending his son, God in human flesh, fully God and fully human? Will you confess that he is the Savior of the world? You ever believed it? Ever confessed it publicly? Ah, gosh, couldn't we have just stopped there? Wait, do I have to show it? But I believe it. I confessed it. Now it's time to show it. See, if you do, then we've got to obey. Again, both in the gospel and throughout this letter, John makes it clear that the love of Christ, love for Christ, is expressed by obedience. 1 John 2:5, if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Ouch. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's recorded in John 14, 21, is the one who loves me. Wait, let me say that. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. In fact, this is the love for God. 1 John 5, 3, to keep his commands. And just when we go, he says, and his commands are not burdensome. If we love God, we obey him. See, love for Christ is not primarily spoken. It is not primarily sung. It is not primarily written or expressed artistically. Love for Christ is demonstrated actively in obedience. Actively in obedience. I better not say I love Jesus if I don't obey him. And again, if you're saying, oh, come on, Bodvili, I can't do it perfectly, that's okay, because we know he's not expecting perfection, because in chapter 2 of this very letter, he says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And here it comes. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You don't have to worry about being perfect. If you can do 10% more than you did yesterday, I'm going to obey 10%. Go for it. Oh, but there's still, don't worry about what's left. Let's just take it step by step by step by step. A little bit more obedience today than yesterday. A little bit more tomorrow. A little bit more the next day. Obey, obey, obey. Do you want to know if you love God? Obey him. Obey him. See, the church in Ephesus, there were some people there that had experienced some new revelation, they said. They said, we can know God without obeying him. Gosh, it's not just Ephesus, is it? There's a lot of us who can say we think we can say we love God, but without obeying him. And we get really defensive if someone questions our relationship to God based on our disobedience. When you know the love of Christ, when you've experienced the depth of his love for you, you get confidence beyond this life. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? If you know God's love for you, if you're experiencing the love in the community, you're not afraid of what happens next. See, I know it has been so exciting for me to see countless times followers of Christ in their latter days. They're filled with joy and expectation, and they're even a little impatient with Christ that they're not getting to see him quickly enough. This last week, I had the privilege of officiating the funeral service for Isabel Garabedian. And at least 3 or 4 times she had told me last year and earlier this year, in 16 and also 2017, it's like, what's taking him so long? What's taking him so long? See, she wasn't afraid of what comes next. Now, she wasn't excited about the prospect of dying. And do you blame her? No one's excited about the process of dying. But death, judgment, they know that they are God's beloved. See, these are the people who spend their whole lives loving the people right there in front of them, the ones within their reach. Because they know they're beloved, they're able to love. I love how John says it. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Oof. Please don't cross that out of your Bibles. Please don't. See, in chapter 1, he told us we were liars if we claimed to be without sin. And now he tells us that we're liars if we claim to love God without loving the very person we can see. See, we must also love our brother and sister, not because we're afraid of punishment. Remember, if we're loving, it's because we have no fear of punishment. Love is being perfected, being made complete in us. See, it's not an external motivation. I better do this. I better love each other. It's an internal push that we can't help. Because God loved us sacrificially, we must love like him. And that doesn't mean you're going to try really hard to love him like you're lifting a 3,000-pound weight. No. You've got to let his love flow through you. It does take some effort, but it's there. We've got to just let his love out. You know what it's like. You say yes to caring for someone. You know, you go for it. You said, yes, they have a need. I'm going to go meet it. And when you're done, you're just exhausted. And in some ways, we say, gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. Wish I hadn't had them over for dinner. I wish I hadn't gone to such extremes loving them. But you couldn't help it. It was the love of Christ within you, pushing you. Unfortunately, we also know what it's like to not love the person right in front of us. Isn't that true? And I'm not going to do what Bobby Billy Mugo does. I'm not going to have you look across the congregation. Because the Bodvili face may betray you. The look on your face may not be love. And your heart may be revealed that you actually despise someone in this room. There are people in this room that you may be really angry that they're here this morning because their presence has ruined your day. Love is of God, and the one who does not love does not know God. I'm actually trembling a little bit right now. Did you hear that? That means whatever you think of me, you have to love me. Whatever I think of you, whether I like what you do, whether you're not as mature as someone might want you to be, maybe you do things that makes them angry, maybe you don't do the things that they want you to do, guess what? We don't get the option to say, I'll love this person but not love this person. If that's your MO, if that's the way you think church works, here I go. You don't know God. You think I want to tell you that? You think praying through this sermon, I want to tell you that you don't know God if you don't love me or you don't love somebody else in this room or someone who's not in this room? You don't demonstrate the love of God. Please stop claiming him as your God. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. I want to just tie this together right now. We have our ministry fair, and we want to be all in. We've talked about this month with our giving, with our investing in our relationships, being all in our service. And our vision for FAPC in 2018 is to be a house of prayer where everyone participates wholeheartedly. So we want to experience God's love together. So we've got this ministry fair today, and you've got some sheets of colored paper stuck on the back of your bulletin. Did you notice that? Yeah, did you notice that they're blank? That's where you write your name. That's where you write your name. As a lover of God who's willing to love other people within this body of Christ. You write your name on those four sheets of paper, and you can just put them on any one of the little ministry booths that we have in the ministry fair. And please don't go out the side door. Don't go out that door. Don't go out the back door and get out. Go over to the fellowship hall. See what's available, what opportunities. I know I'm spinning it, right? What work there is for you. What opportunities God is making available to you within the life of our congregation and beyond. See, now, some people have asked me, when I've preached about it, when Badvili Mugo preached about it from Ephesians and from Romans last week, Badvili, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? How do I know what my spiritual gift is? Can you read that out loud with me? What do you do when you love others? What do you do? When you're loving others, how do you express it? Some of you can't help but go to a hospital and see someone in need. Some of you, your first inclination is to reach for your wallet. Some of you actually try to find jobs for other people. Some of you create jobs for people because that's how you love. Some of you fix things. Some of you try to get behind the scenes and make sure things get done and don't fall through the cracks. Some of you are encouragers. Some of you, when you're loving other people, you're speaking Armenian. And you're making sure that they're understanding what's going on around them. Some of you organize things. I really like you because you really help me a lot. Some of you write cards or texts or emails. See, what do you do when you're loving someone? See, you've written your name on those little post-it notes. Now, go into the ministry fair and slap your name on one of those boards. And maybe it's something that's not on those boards. Maybe you'll sign up for a youth group to be a volunteer to help out there. Maybe you'll want to help out with Sunday school, merchant's lunch, basketball, tutoring. Wait, we don't even have a tutoring ministry. So there's a part on the wall that says, someday maybe. Slap your name on the someday maybe and write down how God might use you here or through this church. Again, I want to remind you that there will never be a time when you cannot love. Never. No matter how much someone has hurt you, there'll never be a time by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will not be able to love. There will never be a time when you will not be able to allow the love of Christ to flow through you. Same thing for me. And if I find that I am not loving, I surely better not be up here. But we surely dare not say we love God if we're not loving. So how do we know? How do we know if we love God? How do we know if He loves us? It's His love to you, and it's His love through you. All you need is love. Amen.